This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor, and Germanicus is still on the road. He's gone farther north in Britain, crossed through enemy lines. He has a pass or something, some relation to allow him to exist with his head on in Pict country. Later on, it'll be called Edinburgh. In any event, Germanicus is kept in touch with the events of the 21st century. And the ones in Kiev are particularly confounding, given that Germanicus has been telling a story of decline and fall. It looks like there's another thing besides falling. It's becoming anarchy, but at the same time, there's some humor in it. For example, Russia using Elon Musk Starlink to coordinate attacks, claims Ukraine. That's witty. And I value your lives. I value your lives, says Ukraine's new general, assuring skeptical troops. General Alexander Sirsky offers olive branches to soldiers fearful of the tactics he employed in the Bakhmut meat grinder. Germanicus, I'll stop there because what we have here is Kiev no longer making sense. You will recall that the last time we had a conversation, the general-in-chief was named Zeluzhny, and he's very popular. He's been fired or removed from command by Zelensky, replaced with the man who's associated with Bakhmut, but more particularly, he used to work for Zeluzhny. His name is Alexander Sirsky. At the same time, there is no money coming from the U.S. It's not even a debating point anymore. And Ukraine is down to defensive perimeter that is, well, let's put it this way, consolidating it at further back in the line. So your measure of Ukraine a week past has accelerated in decline. How do you measure this new general, Alexander Sirsky? Is this a patch for NATO? Is this to satisfy the armed forces? Why did Zelensky have to do this?
The buzz, and it's only that, and that's as far as I can take it, is that Sirsky is not going to be a political threat to Zelensky the way Zeluzhny was and is. So Sirsky will be dependent on Zelensky, and if Sirsky does things that are counterproductive or that lead to certain defeat within the near term, then he can always be replaced. And Zelensky can still buy a little bit more rope to continue the war. But the overall sense of not just the line of contact or the front, but the entire war effort is that it is unraveling quickly. And this is, in real time, what it looks like when an army begins to collapse, and with it, the regime, and perhaps the whole society. There are videos out there now showing Ukrainian civilians ganging up and beating, you know, the crap out of these, I wouldn't call them recruiters, impressment men who are supposed to rip suspecting young men off the streets or unsuspecting older men off the streets and send them directly to the meat grinder. And now citizens are banding together to expel them from their towns. It's just a straw in the wind, but it's important to look at the ways in which Ukrainian society collectively is saying, We can't take this anymore. We've had enough. And this brings into sharp relief a potential coup situation in which Zelensky, as long as he doesn't leave the country, if he accedes to becoming, say, an ambassador where he can be closely watched in some foreign country, then he'll be out of the picture. But if he stays in Ukraine, there's every chance he could mobilize a coup against Zelensky. And it really is a dicey situation. And the fact is, it's going to get more and more parlous in the weeks ahead. And if you look at the key of focal battle right now in Avdiivka, that place is collapsing, and there's a high possibility that thousands of Ukrainian soldiers could be taken prisoner of war. Any such outcome would not simply be a defeat, it would send a kind of terrible ripple through the army and its ability to continue. And it could push forces against the government itself. And you have to remember that, you know, this isn't like Bakhmut or Artyomovsk. Avdiivka is the most powerful fortress in the entire Ukrainian line on the Donbas front. And so for it to go, and it's very close to going, and we don't know exactly what the tactical situation is, but it is being assaulted by Russian stormtroopers as we speak. This is a very fast-moving situation, and as we've talked in the past about how other armies unravel and how wars finally get to a point where the war effort can no longer be sustained by regime or by society or by army. And the famous example, of course, is the Black Day of the German army in 1918, where they just said enough is enough. And boy, everything just unraveled after that in the space of just, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the case in Ukraine, but you could have a something that surprises us. And the only reason it surprises or would surprise Americans and NATO vassals is that all of the electorates of Europe and the United States and North America, meaning Canada, have been fed this incredible diet of propaganda, all of which has been a lie. And it's been impossible for most Americans to actually come to an assessment of the situation in Ukraine that conceivably corresponds with reality. And as a result, you know, these manipulated Western electorates are going to be shocked. It's going to be a gigantic thunderclap of recognition and dismay.
Let me read a quote from General Sirski. This is the Telegraph, London reporting. General Sirski said the Ukrainian armed forces would need to change methods to win the war. Germanicus, who does this sound like? Here it goes. Only changes in continuous improvement in the means and methods of warfare will allow us to succeed on this path. The introduction of new technical solutions and the scaling of successful experience, such as the use of unmanned systems, modern means of radio-electronic warfare, is one of the future vectors of building victory in our war of liberation. I can't help myself. Doesn't it sound like Wonder Weapons 1945?
It does. And of course, you know, there's also the Volkssturm. All of the righteous, you know, old veterans will arrive at the front and halt the red tide. Look, it is crazy. And what's funny about that in terms of the iconography he was elucidating, it's almost the same as Zelensky, who was talking about new robot warriors who would fight the Russians. It's fantasy land. And the fact is that the MO of Mr. Sirski is huge attritional battles like Bakhmut, where he just throws in untrained, you know, hastily impressed men into the meat grinder.
It reminded me of the orchestra in Leningrad going to the front against the Germans.
Oh, it isn't funny. And then there's no reason that we should take any mirth in this. It's simply The laughter is hollow and bitter.
You're a veteran of the CIA. Is the CIA giving them these lines to speak to the troops? Is the CIA scripting this?
I don't know. I don't know how deeply embedded various agencies of the U.S.
Do they read their history books at the CIA? The new technical solutions, Michael. It did. We're not far fetched here. We're Romans. We can see what they're talking about. Magic. Magical thinking.
Remember, you know, we talked before about the idea of a one day at a time strategy. And when your back's against the wall and things are falling apart, you start reaching for wild rationalizations and a vision of, you know, deus ex machina interventions. And it's only to buy you one more day. We're in a situation of one day at a time strategy for Ukraine, and it's a terrible thing.
Let's go to Moscow then, because Putin's got a vision that apparently involves centuries. He feels he is inheriting the tradition in Russia sometime in the 17th, 18th century, and he's looking to the 22nd, 23rd. Good for him. Germanicus is traveling. He's through the enemy lines. He's in Pitt Country in Edinburgh. I am Gaius. This is the Friends of History Debating Society in Londinium by the Thames. It's mild. Climate change in the 21st century, I understand, is changing the seasons here in the first century AD. It's mild for a February afternoon. I'm John Batchelor.